we're going to watch a video, and I really don't know how to set this video up. It's different, but if you listen to it, it just says it about as clear as you can. And so if you would, go ahead and start the video. Talks about having done that after we've done all we could, that we must stand. And as you've seen going through that, you've seen the soldier putting on his armor for battle. You see the soldier preparing for war. And that's what we're talking about today. What to wear to war. You know, as we go through the process of our day in and day out, sometimes we leave the house and we forget we're in a battle and we don't prepare, do we? We don't put on our equipment to go outside of the house, to go outside of our safe zone. And we go outside, we step outside without our equipment, we're not prepared for war, and next thing you know, Satan hits us. I mean, the devil just hits us, and then we go home like whoop pups at the end of the day. Anybody ever been there? Absolutely. Man, you go out and you come, you just feel like somebody had just beat you to death, and you go back home, and when you get back home, you just wore out, you're exhausted, and you're like, God, if you're there, where are you today? And God says, I'm where I've always been. The problem is, you didn't take me with you. You didn't gear up. You didn't get prepared to go outside. You know, every time you go out, you wear the right... I mean, if you're going to work, you wear the right clothes, don't you? You put on the right outfit. If you go to a party, you put on the right outfit, right? If you go out to a real fancy dinner, you put on the right outfit. No matter where you go prepared for where you're going. But what we forget is we need to be prepared when we step outside the door. We need to be prepared for Satan. And so as you were watching this video, you see the soldier gearing up. And I can imagine when Paul was writing this letter that he's sitting in the prison and he looks over and he sees the Roman soldier full dress. He is full dress, ready for battle. He's ready for anything that may happen. He is ready for war at any extent of any kind. And so when Paul looks over and he sees this Roman soldier standing there in full dress with all of his armor, ready to do whatever he needs to do, Paul gives us the example here in Ephesians. So do we have anybody that needs a Bible today? You have it, but you forgot it or whatever. Actually, your Bible's back there, man. And so, anybody else need one, raise your hand, we'll make sure you get one. Okay, go to Ephesians, if you will, Ephesians chapter 6. You guys get the idea, we're kind of hanging out right here through this whole series. It's repetitive, but it's good because repetitive gets in. And we wanted to get in and sink in, you know. It's like putting a lotion on. You get it on there, and after a while, it just starts sinking in, doesn't it? And that's what we want this to do. And so we're talking about the battle, which I have to share this, guys, before we read, while everybody's turning there. And I got permission for this, right? Tim and Kevin were out in the hall talking, and I walked up on the conversation, and I see Tim crying. And I'm concerned. I'm like, Tim, what are you crying for? Well, I found out he's crying from laughter. And trying to refrain and just be this godly man in front of another godly man. Like, I'm behind you, brother. I got your back and I'm trying to give you sympathy, but I can't find it, right? And so I go, well, what's happening, man? You know, because we're talking about war and Kevin's sharing, how he pulled a muscle, in his back. And man, how many have ever hurt their back in any way? It hurts, don't it? Well, how did you do that, man? I mean, Tim's like, dude, I'm so sorry. You know, compassion is just starting to ooze out. And then and Kevin goes, well, I did it ironing my shirt this morning. And so, oh, forgive me. So, Tim. Compassion's out the window. Tim's just trying to keep it together so he can find out the rest of the story. And he's like, and so it now it becomes funny, right? And so, man, well, and I asked him, what'd you do? Did you get Louisa to finish ironing your shirt? And he goes, no, I struggled through it. It hurt, but I'm sorry. So there's wars in all kinds of forms, even when a man irons his shirt. I'm just saying, you know, you think of iron, it is heavy. Give him some credit. It's heavy. You know, look, and it takes force to push it across the shirt. So anyway, I thought, sorry, that was just so funny. I wanted everybody in on that one. Okay, let's look in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 10. And we're going to go from 10 through 13. Finally, everyone stand, please. Starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. Lord, as we discuss the devil, Lord, I know he doesn't like this. I know he's going to rear his ugly head. And Lord, I know he's going to try and intervene and intercede in the minds of those that are here today. Lord, he's going to try and win by deceit and by, Lord, by lies and Lord, I just pray right now that you keep him at bay. Lord, that you keep him bound during this service. Lord, I pray that you keep him bound from our lives. And Lord, that we would recognize that we are in a battle, Lord. We would recognize that we need to stand strong, Lord. We would recognize that we have got to step up and fight this war, because if we don't, Lord, we will lose it. Lord, we will get run over. Help us, Lord, as we go through this series, as we go through today's message, Lord, to understand that we need to be prepared. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Some of you are realizing for the first time that you're in a war. Some of you are realizing for the first time that there really is a spiritual battle. Some of you said, well, you know what? I just never thought about it. I just didn't think about there being a spiritual battle. But now that I see it, now that I'm looking around, man, I see where the devil is at work. And so some of you, for the first time, are going, wow, we are really in the battle. And so what I'm going to talk about today, and I just want to remind you that what we've talked about last week was be strong, be prepared, and be resolute. Be resolute. You know, today, as I look around and I see Christians, and I'm watching them, and I'm watching their behavior, and I'm watching their language, and I'm watching the things that they do, and they say, I love Jesus, but yet their lifestyle is just not matching up with what they claim that is true. And you look at it, and they're moved so easily by so little. You know, it's one thing if you see a semi coming and you see this little car, you know, like one of these little smart cars. How many have seen the smart cars? They're about the funniest looking things that are overpriced and unsafe as you can buy. That wasn't a plug, obviously, for them. But you see a semi coming, you see a little smart car there, you know it wasn't too smart, right? Because this semi is going to move it with ease. This semi is just going to absolutely crush this car. And sometimes I feel like the Christian has set themselves up to be the smart car. And they're not doing anything to avoid getting run over. They're not doing anything to stop this onslaught from the devil that's about to happen. And then when it comes into their life, they're shocked. Can you believe that happened? Can you believe, like you're supposed to be exempt from this. Like you're supposed to be exempt from Satan's attack. Why? Well, because I said I love Jesus. Well, listen, saying it and living it is two different things. Yeah, but I said it. Where's God? I said it, but wait a minute. God says, I'll do this if you do that. I'll do this when you do that. So we understand that there are stipulations for God's blessing on our life. It doesn't just happen. Salvation happens when you receive Jesus. That's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't deserve it. It is just given. It is just extended out there to you. But from then on, the blessings are what you earn. You know, my children, they don't get a $5 or $10 bill unless they earn it. You got to pull the weeds. You got to, you know, there's chores that you have to do. And when you do those chores, I will bless you. I've got a little child out in the hall. Can somebody deal with that? Thank you. So what happens is we got to put a lock on the door, I see. Sorry, I went. You know, it's like you see a little mouse run across the floor and it just catches your attention for a second. And so what happens is we cannot expect to have blessings from God and have protection of God on us when we do nothing to live for Him. When we do nothing to that He asks us to do. And like so with my children, they go, Daddy, can we have $10? I want this. Got weeds that need to be pulled. And when you get them pulled, you get the money. And you know, sometimes it'll take them a long time to pull them weeds. They just don't like to pull them weeds. Well, guess what? You don't get paid till it's done. And let me tell you, I don't give in. Listen, when I say it, you can figure it's golden. I'm going to hang right there with it. And they're like, but Dad, it's hot outside. So, take an umbrella with you, block the sun. But I don't care what you do, take water, drink water, but I want the weeds pulled. And if it's not done, you don't get the money. And if it's 3/4 done, you don't get the money. If it's 90% done, you don't get the money. And if it's not done to my satisfaction, when you say you're done, you don't get the money. It's, you know, it's got to be done to my satisfaction, not yours. If it's done to your satisfaction, 3 weeds and it's done, it's over. Hey, Dad, woohoo, I pulled the weeds. And so Jesus says, you know what? It's got to be done my way. And when it's done my way, then I'll bless you my way. But Christians today, we don't think about that. We don't process that. People are so spoiled, they go, I want it now. Because we live in an instant society, right? We live in a society that has the mentality, mind over matter. If it ain't mine, it don't matter. Right? We live in this society. And then we expect or wonder why bad things happen. Because we're not responsible. Because we don't take responsibility for our actions. We don't step up and make the difference. We are not ready to do war. And then we cry when we get run over. We cry when things go bad. And I just want to tell you that it takes you to make the difference. I want you to look at the first point we're going to look at, how we approach the battle. How we approach the battle. And so when you have, I want you to look, it says, therefore take up the full armor of God. And when it literally means, because listen, that is like, it is an action. It's something that you have to do. It says, therefore, take up. Therefore, you have to take up. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your brother, not your sister, not your uncle, not your friend, nobody else, but you. You have to take up. Therefore, because of all this junk going on, you have to take up the armor of God. You have to prepare yourself. You have to be ready. You have to get dressed. You know, there comes a day when mommy and daddy quit putting underwear on the baby. Because the baby's capable of doing it on their own, aren't they? And I'm going to tell you, there comes a time when you reach a maturity level where God says, you are capable, but you are being defiant, and you have made a decision to not take up the full armor of God. And when you don't take up the full armor of God, when you're not dressed, when you're not prepared, then you leave yourself open to the enemy. I talked about that last week. I talked about leaving the door open, right? Remember, I remind you of the little mouse that got into my garage? I want you to know, though, I got him. It took a little piece of bread and a nice trap, but I got him. And when I picked him up after catching him, his eyes were all on me. They were like bugged out. I got him. He knew who I was. I'm just kidding. But listen, if you leave the little door open, you leave a crack, man, Satan's going to get in there. And if you don't put on all your armor, you cannot defend yourself. I am reminded of how many used to or ever watched Young Guns? You ever see Young Guns? Yeah, it's with it had like all your big headliners back in that day. I don't even remember their name, but I remember Emilio Estevez was in it, and he was Wild Bill or Billy the Kid. He was Billy the Kid, and the sheriff, which is his good friend, was after him. I mean, he chased him down from state to state and into the next country, into Mexico, and Billy the Kid gets up and he goes outside. It's after a big Mexican party. They were celebrating something. I don't know what they were celebrating. But I remember Billy the Kid, he gets up in the evening. It's dark time, and he got out of bed. And when he got out of bed, he went outside and to take care of some business, you know, that man thing. And so he goes outside, he takes care of business, and he hears a wrestling in the barn where his horses are. And so he walks toward the barn, and he doesn't see anything, doesn't hear anything anymore, and he looks and everything appears to be fine. He turns around to walk away, and as he turns around to walk away, he hears a click. You know them old westerns, you hear the trigger pull back, you know, and he stops right in his tracks. And he just stands there a second, and he turns around, and when he turns around, he sees his friend, who is now his enemy because he's the sheriff, Pat Garrett was his name, and he's going to take him down. He's got the gun drawn on him. And so Billy the Kid grabs for his gun, right? Because, man, he was fast. So he grabs for his gun to pull it, and he left his guns in his room. He wasn't prepared for battle, was he? And then all of a sudden, all you hear is a shot fired, but everything, the screen goes black. So you really don't know what happened. But one thing you know for sure, Billy the Kid didn't shoot his friend because he wasn't prepared for battle. And I think that's what happens for us. We get out into the world, and then all of a sudden we realize, wow, I forgot my sword. I forgot some of my armor. I forgot the shield of faith. Man, I forgot the belt of truth. I forgot what I forgot. And then all of a sudden, a shot's fired, it goes black, and you've just been hit. And that's the way it is with life, guys. If you, listen to me, if you don't take up the full armor of God, and listen, if you don't take up the armor of God, if you don't know God, you can't do this. See, it's one thing to say, oh, I know God. I know Jesus. Here's what I've found, especially in this area. They know who Jesus is. But they don't know Jesus. See, you guys know me. But the letter I just got in the mail to do jury duty, they only know who I am. But they don't know me. You see the difference? They know I exist. But they don't know me. And for a lot of people, including those who call themselves Christians, it's the same way. You know who Jesus is, but you don't know Jesus. And so I want you to know that until you take up the whole armor, you can't do that if you don't know God. It's called spiritual preparedness. That's what it's called. How many have ever been in the military? Or you have children that went to the military? Okay? How many heard of boot camp? Everybody's heard of boot camp, haven't you? Man, you go to boot camp, and some of you guys will either laugh and go, uh-huh, or you go, you got it wrong. And you'll be whispering it to your spouse, but it's okay. I have not been to boot camp. I have not been in the military. That decision I regret, unfortunately. But in boot camp, it's like, was it 8 weeks? So depends. Okay, 6, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it is. I guess it depends on if you're slow or fast. I don't know. And so what happens is you go into boot camp, and when you go into boot camp, man, you are now the owner of the government. And you got to run. And you got to do sit-ups. And you got to do push-ups. And you do it until you puke. They don't care. You just keep going. As a matter of fact, if you stop, I can't even tell you what they call you and what they say to you. And they push you and sit-ups. And then what happens? They teach you how to dress and how your outfit should be. They make sure your shoes are shined and buffed. And, I mean, they're clean. You can always tell a military man that liked it because he walks around, his shoes are clean. I look at Buck, he would look at my shoes sometimes and go, I could buff them out for you. If I want them buffed, I'll call you. Right now, leave them alone. What are you doing looking at my shoes? No, but a military man will, man, he's on it. Why? Because they taught him that. They trained him that. Will you turn that up? He trained them. And they're ready. And what happens is they get the fundamentals in basic training. The fundamentals of doing war. And then what do? They give them their gun. They teach them how to use their gun. They equip them for war. They give them their weaponry. And once they have the fundamentals and they're through the basic training, then they can move on and actually do the war. And guys, that's what church is for. That's what discipleship is for. Listen, that's why we disciple. Why? So that we can train you up and get the fundamentals and get the basics and get you ready so that, man, you are ready to go out and fight and do war. That's what we do. Why? So that you know how to take up the whole armor of God. You know, there's some of you that when I met you and you got saved, and I was like, yeah, man, we're on fire now, let's learn. You had no clue of anything about the Bible. None. Matter of fact, I remember when I got saved, I had no clue of anything about the Bible. I was so illiterate. I mean, listen, guys, when I say illiterate, I mean illiterate. I shared this with you before. I was so ignorant of any of the spiritual realm stuff that I did not know, and this is God's truth, God is my witness, I did not know what 666 stood for. I didn't know. As a matter of fact, how many remember when there were no cell phones and we had beepers? And so I had a beeper and to save myself, but then I got a bag phone with my beeper, right? Because you use the beeper, it was cheaper, and then you use the bag phone, you plug it in the cigarette lighter, and you got this whole, you look like military man right there, right? You pick up the phone because it's got the whole handset. And, but I remember when I said, look, to save me from running over to make a phone call, just page me. And if the answer is no, put two twos. But if the answer is yes, put in three sixes. I didn't know what it meant. But then later, after I got saved, it was like it dawned on me. No wonder nobody ever called me back and said yes. You know? They were like, three sixes, this dude's Satan, man. We're not going to mess with him. As though my business was struggling, but it was okay. No, God bless. But that's how ignorant I was. And so what happened was when I got saved, I went into basic training. I went into boot camp. And man, I got armed up for war, and now here I am arming others up for war. You have to take on the whole armor of God. And then you have to help others take up the whole armor of God. Okay? And I want you to know, though, that there, victory comes. Victory comes, but the commitment's high. The commitment's high. And I think that's our biggest problem today, is we're not willing to commit. Oh, we'll commit on our terms. We'll commit on our level. And then, halfway through the commitment, if our life changes, well, then that's justification to throw the commitment out the window. I don't think God says to do that. So I want you to know the commitment's high. The stakes are up there. But you have to commit. So the next thing is why we must be prepared. Why we must be prepared. So that you will be able to resist in the evil day. If you're not prepared for war, you can't battle war. I remember one time I went to me and another pastor drove down to Philadelphia, and we went down there for a pastor's meeting, and it was cold outside. As a matter of fact, I remember very clearly it was about 26 degrees outside, and we were coming back. We had spent the night down there. We were coming back. Great meeting in suit and tie. We left right after the meeting, you know, heading back home, and I'm running down the highway. Maybe I was going with the traffic, though, so even though I was speeding, I was going with the traffic. I didn't want to get run over. I felt it had been unsafe, you know what I'm saying? So I kept up with the traffic, and I hit a pothole. Have you ever been in Jersey? It's pothole city. I mean, it's like you spend more gas avoiding potholes than you do getting where you're going. So we're running down the road. I was talking. I don't know what happened. I didn't see this pothole. And we were doing about 85 mile an hour. Traffic was just screaming by, you know. I mean, literally, people were passing me, and I'm doing 85. I hit this pothole, and it was so deep, and I hit it so hard that my truck jumped lanes. I mean, when I hit it, it was like, bam, and it just shot me off into the right-hand lane. And then my truck died. It just stalled. And I went, man, it was like, I look over and ask the pastor that was with me, I said, dude, are your teeth still in your head, man? I mean, that was a hard hit, right? Are you okay? Is everybody safe? I pull off to the side of the road, and I get out, or I sit there, and I'm trying to start the truck. I can't get nothing. And I always bring work clothes with me. Because you never know. I drive a truck with 180,000 plus thousand miles on it now. You never know when something could happen. And so I always take a work coat and jeans and a shirt, and I just stick it up underneath the seat and forget that it's there. Now, when I put it on, it's nasty, but it's there, right? And so I'm sitting here in my suit and everything, and I look over at Duke, and I said, okay, man, look, I got to change clothes. It's the only place I can do it, so you're going to have to work with me, right? So I change clothes, and I get out, and I said, well, when I get out under the hood, when I tell you to try to start it, he tries to start it, I figure out his fuel pump's gone. It had hit the pothole so hard that it separated the pump from the hose in the tank. And there's 23 gallons of fuel in my tank I just filled up. I'm going, man, so we have it towed. By the time we get tow truck gets there, you take it to the garage. Now the garage wants to charge me $1,200 to fix my truck. Have you fell and bumped your head? I am not paying $1,200 to fix my truck. So I said, okay, look, how much are you going to charge me? And I had free towing. I said, how much are you going to charge me to tow it over? I called up Pep Boys. Pep Boys had some parts, and I know that they'll let me use tools, or at least I could buy my own tools. I said, how much you charge me to tow it over to Pep Boys 5 miles down the road? $85. Dude, are you crazy? So I called my insurance company up. I said, look, this garage you sent me to, they can't help me, so I need it towed again. You have it towed? Yep. They gave me a number, $36 to have my truck towed. I said, okay, so insurance company pays for it, no problem, get it over there. And I draw, here it is, now it's dark. So I go in there and I buy a little flashlight, I buy a pair of gloves to keep my hands warm, I borrow the tools from the mechanics, I get the jack, and I was, when I had the wrecker bring my truck in, I asked him to back it up onto the curb so that it picked it up higher, you know, gave me more room to get there. So he did, he pushed it up onto the curb, we parked it there, and I went in, and within an hour, I pulled my tank, fixed the problem, put the tank back in, and we were driving back to New York. And Duke's going, how did you do that with so few tools? I was prepared. I knew what I was doing. I was ready for the battle. I took care of the problem. And guys, I'm just telling you, that's how life is. When you're stranded and you think, man, it's going to cost us $1,200 to fix the vehicle, it's going to cost us lunch or dinner, it's going to cost us hotel, it's going to cost us breakfast, it's going to cost us lunch, and then we're going to be a whole day late getting back home. Why? Not prepared. But if you're prepared, you have a strong chance of avoiding all of that. And so what I'm telling you is that we have to be able, we have to be prepared so that we are able to resist in the evil day. And we're in the evil day. I don't know if you realize that or not. And so, but I want you to see, though, that this statement is conditional. It's conditional. It's conditional on you. It's a conditional statement. If you don't prepare, you won't be able to resist. If you don't prepare, you're not ready for battle, you can't fix anything, you can't do anything, you can't resist when the evil day comes and when the evil one comes. If you're not prepared, you will go down, you will be shot down, you will be in enemy fire, and you will become a victim or a casualty of war. It's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. You will go down. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Just straight to the left of where you're at. Keep Ephesians and turn to the left and go to 1 Corinthians 9:24. through 27. I'm going to read it. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But, now listen to this, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Here's what Paul's talking about. He says, you know what? When I'm ready, and of course these are just all analogies. He's just giving you examples because he's talking in Corinth. They had the Corinthian Games, and so this is probably during a time of the Corinthian Games. And he sees it, and he's like, a beautiful example to teach the lesson. Because when I write this, the people will understand. They'll be able to connect the dots here. And so he says, you know what? It's like going to the games. These athletes, they have trained. They are precise. They know what they're doing. They don't battle for no reason. They don't train for any reason, man. They train so they know what they can do, and they're good at it. He says, you know what? When I box, I don't box as one that shadow box and beats at the air and hits nothing. Man, my shots are precise. When I run, man, I run to obtain. I don't want to be disqualified, because here's the thing that you may not understand back then is when you tried out for the games, when you went to compete in these games, you had to be ready. And if you weren't ready, you were disqualified. They just cut you. It didn't matter. If you weren't prepared, you weren't ready, you were cut. And so he's talking about, man, I didn't want to be disqualified. I didn't want to go around telling everybody, you know, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, because if you don't, you're going to be disqualified. And here I'm disqualified myself. He said, I don't want that. And you know, we equate that with a hypocrite life, don't we? Oh, yeah, you need to live like this, and you need to live like that, and then you're out living complete opposite, and you don't even hear your own words. And Paul says, listen, I don't want you to be disqualified from fighting in this war. I don't want you to be disqualified as a child of the kings. I want you in there, but I want you to pay attention and to focus and be ready for anything that comes your way. I don't want you to be disqualified. But what he says here in 27, if you'll look, he says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Guys, that's called self-control. That's called discipline. You don't have the right to do whatever you want. Truth is not dependent on you. And what you do will affect somebody else. It will make a difference in their life. It will absolutely change many people's lives, what you do. And so, listen, you have got to have self-control. You have got to have discipline in your life. You have got to do it God's way and not your way. If you don't, you'll go down. How many people do you know that they go out and they're living and their life is an absolute mess? And they're sleeping with everybody that comes along. And now they have diseases. They have all these problems. They have, I mean, just it's just off the chart, the things that they're going through. And it's because you sit back and you go, well, man, you know what? If you keep your pants on, that problem wouldn't happen. If you stay at home and wouldn't go to the bars, that problem wouldn't happen. If you quit doing the drugs, that problem wouldn't happen. If you'd quit this and quit that. Anybody know anybody like that? Sure we do. Why? Why do they have all the problems in their life? No discipline. No self-control. Then they wonder why, when they're sitting there in tears and they've called you up and they're going, I don't understand why this happened to me. I do. You're a moron. You're not controlling yourself. Listen, you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. You can't live the life you're living with no discipline in your life, no self-control, and expect God to bless. You can't live that lifestyle, as reckless as it is, and not expect the devil to attack you and destroy you. And Paul says, I discipline myself. I beat my body. He says, literally, I physically restrain myself. You know what that means? It's not always a pleasure. It's not always easy. And then I hear people say, well, I can't help myself, Pastor. It's just the way I am. Don't give me that junk. It's not the way God did not design you to go against Him. God did not give you an inability to not be righteous. God didn't design you that way. Or else He wouldn't have said, be righteous. He wouldn't say, live Christ-like. Paul wouldn't say, follow me. Paul wouldn't say, hey, look, be your body in the subjection. And so these people say, I just can't do that, Pastor. It's too hard. No, you don't have discipline in your life. That's the problem. People today, they don't discipline their children. They don't discipline their schedule. They don't discipline their spending. They don't discipline their eating habits. They don't discipline anything. It's like we have free reign. And then we think nothing's going to happen. And then when it does, we collapse going, I don't understand. It's crazy. Paul says, listen, beat yourself into subjection if you have to, but do it. Do it. Or else, don't be surprised when you get hit by the enemy. Don't sit back and go, oh no, why that happened? You know, little kids, they do that. They'll play with stuff. And they already know that something's going to go bad because mommy and daddy have already told them, now if you play with that, you're going to get hurt. And then they get hurt. And they, and the mom and dad come, well, what happened? Oh, no. Oh, no. I just walked by and it fell and it landed on me. And I don't know who pushed it, but I didn't push. I didn't touch it. I wasn't climbing up on it to get that tape on the top. I swear it wasn't me. We act all shocked. Guys, you have to get some self-control. Don't let the spiritual terrorists surprise you. Remember I talked about spiritual terrorists last week? It comes from the unknown, the least expected way that he hits you. Don't let that happen to you. Be prepared. Have on the whole armor of God. The third thing we're going to look at is what we gain by being prepared. What we gain by being prepared. Oh, sorry, I missed a statement. Or I put it in the wrong place. No, I just missed it. You take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist. So number three is what we gain by being prepared. So he says, the verse says, having done all to stand firm. And so, having done all to stand firm, in the Greek word literally means to stand in place. So it's not just stand firm, but it literally means to stand in place. Take your spot and don't move. Don't let the enemy back you up. That's what it's talking about. You don't let the enemy back you up. You don't go into retreat. You don't back up going, stop, stop, stop. I'm telling you, stop. No, he says, you know what? You take a stand, you draw the line, and you stand there. You don't move. That's what he's talking about when he talks about in 13, having done everything to stand, having done everything to take your place. Look here in 2 Peter 1 through 3. 2 Peter 1 through 3, and that's to the right of Ephesians, just a little ways. 2 Peter 1, I'm sorry, 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3 says here, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given us what? All things. What are all things? What are all things? All things. All. What is all? All means all, and that's all means. It is all inclusive. It is everything. It is leaving nothing out. The Bible says that God has given us all things to stand firm. God has given us all things to have victory. God has given us all things to put on to protect ourselves in the evil time against the wicked one. God has left nothing out. He says He's given us all things. And you know what that means? That we are without excuse. You know what that means? It just proves that when you get into a situation or a problem, it's because you didn't discipline yourself. You didn't take control of your life. You didn't stop the enemy. Because he says, I've given you all things to stand in the time when the evil one comes. That kind of stinks when it all lays right back on us, don't it? Because it's like, dog, man, I had a good excuse, and now you just blew it out of the water. Man, I had a good reason, and now I can't even give it. Well, you know what an excuse is? It's just a lie packed in a skin, right? Man, it was good, but it doesn't work. God says, I've given you all things to have victory. So here's what we got to do. We have to back up, and we got to look at our schedule. We got to look at our spending. We got to look at our attitude. We got to look at what we do. We got to look at what our family does. We got to look at what we bring in the home. We got to look at what we take to work. We got to look at our whole life and discipline it, because God says, I've given you all things to be successful. I've given you all things. I've left nothing out. The only reason it gets left behind is because you don't take it with you. So here's some examples of what we get when we stand firm. We keep the truth that sets us free from lies and deceptions. When we stand firm, we keep the truth that sets us free from lies and deceptions. You won't be deceived. Why? Because you've got the whole armor of God on, and the Holy Spirit is going to put up a radar and go, don't do that, it is not safe. It's funny, I got a phone call Friday. Or a text. I didn't get a phone call. It was a text. And when I got the text and I read it, and all it was somebody that wanted to meet with me. And immediately, the Holy Spirit exposed to me what the meeting was about. Immediately. I mean, it was just, as soon as I read it, the Holy Spirit, it was like the Holy Spirit was sitting right here next to me, leaning over, looking at my text. And he's going, you're going to be dealing about this and this and this and that, just so you know. Love you. Right? And so when I get to the meeting 2 hours later, and I meet the people, I look at them, and I said, "You're here for this and this reason, aren't you?" And they went, "Who told you?" God did. Why? Because I put on the whole armor of God, because I'm ready for battle, because I discipline my life. Am I perfect? No. Close, but not quite. I couldn't resist that one. And so, but I'm ready to do battle, and because I'm ready to do battle, even in my ignorance, God protects me. Why? Because I'm striving to live for Him and do what's right. And so He says, "Okay, here's your warning. Take heed." Thank you. Thank you, God. And so I was prepared for the battle that I was walking into. Completely prepared for it. And that's what God does. So we keep the truth that sets us free from lies and deceptions. We keep the peace with God and the confidence that it brings. We keep the peace with God and the confidence that it brings. I'm going to tell you what, if you know God, you have a peace and you have a confidence that is just unshakable. Your foundation is solid as a rock. It's not built on sand that gets washed out and the undercurrent takes it away and it collapses. No. This is solid. I was reading an article about a train station that was in Massachusetts, and it was the second most beautiful train station in the United States at the time. And the people, modern times were coming, and so the new look and the new buildings were coming, and so they decided to tear this building down. And a guy bids on the building to do the work to tear it down, and he gives this price, and he goes in. And when he goes in, he finds out that the foundation of this building, the wall, between the wall of the building and the train tracks, because they knew the trains were coming by and the rumble and the shaking, the foundation going around there was 12 feet thick. 12 feet thick. It was on a solid foundation. As a matter of fact, the guy that bid on the job to tear it all down lost money because he never in his wildest dreams ever dreamed that footing would be that thick. And it took him an extra 3 months to get the foundation out. And guys, I'm telling you, if you have your foothold in with God and you are solid, you will have the confidence because He will be that foundation. Then I want you to see that we keep the purpose for which God called us. We keep the purpose for which God called us. Listen, when you're solid and you take a stand and you don't move, you keep the purpose that God has called you for. And the purpose is that you worship Him and you serve Him. You reach the lost. You teach the lost, right? You go out and you win them and you disciple them and you baptize them. Isn't that what the Bible talks about? Absolutely. And so when you stand firm, you keep the purpose. And then we keep the holiness. We keep the holiness that makes us more like Him. When you stand firm, man, you give God an opportunity to do a work in your life. You give God an opportunity to show Himself to you. You give God the opportunity to hold you strong. And what happens is you stand, all of a sudden, you keep your holiness and you're more like Him. Why? Because you know Him and you love Him and you spend time with Him and your life becomes like His. I'm going to share this last story before I close. How many remember reading about or hearing about Hurricane Andrew? It happened in Florida, 1992. Some of you are going, "I wasn't quite born," or "I was 3 years old." That's okay. In 1992, there was a hurricane, Hurricane Andrew. And at the time, it was the most expensive hurricane that had ever hit the United States at the time. It made 250,000 people homeless. 100,000 people left the state and never returned. I mean, this was a devastating storm. It destroyed 82,000 businesses. And there was one town in Homestead, Florida, and it was completely leveled. The entire town was completely leveled. I mean, completely leveled except for one home. It stood almost like untouched. It was standing there with almost not even a shingle out of place. And people were in awe of it. As a matter of fact, the news cameras went straight there and they're filming this because the homes in front of that one and beside that one and behind that one and the entire town was leveled, but this one home stood without a problem with it. And so they started interviewing the owner. As a matter of fact, the owner and his children and his wife stayed in the house throughout the whole storm. They never left. And they asked him, they said, "What did you do that you made your house stand?" He said, "Well, I sat back and I did a lot of studying and reading, and I found out what type of design could withstand the winds. And I found out how I could build special windows and put it with these special coverings that would close and protect the glass and the window and keep it secure and not let the and they wouldn't break and it would protect the house. And when most people were building their outer walls out of 2x6s, I built my outer walls out of 2x8s and 2x10s. And when other people were building their inner walls out of 2x4s, I was using 2x6s and 2x8s. He said, "I reinforced my entire home. Man, I did my lessons. I even built the roof at such a pitch that when I knew that when the wind was coming, it couldn't affect the roof at all." And he said, "So I knew that when I got done building my house, because here's the thing, it was protecting everything I loved. It was protecting everything I have. It was protecting my children and my wife and my valuables. And so I knew that when I built this house, I knew I was building it in a danger zone. I knew that a hurricane could come through and wipe us out, and I wasn't going to have it. So I built it so I never had to worry about these hurricanes." And that house stood. And guys, I want to tell you right now, just like that man built his house to withstand the hurricanes, we have to build our house. This right here, this body, this mind, this heart. We have got to build it to withstand the wiles of the devil. We have got to build it to withstand the schemes, the mind games, and the attacks of the enemy. Which means that we got to put more into it. We got to understand more. We got to discipline ourselves more. We got to do more for ourselves than what the average person is doing or the average Christian is doing if you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so I just want to encourage you today, you can have the victory. I mean, I'm talking you can have victory off the chart, but not if you don't prepare for the battle. If you don't get ready and you don't prepare for it, you're going down. It's just a matter of time. And if you're not a child of God's, you have no chance at all. Not only will you go down in the battle, but you go to hell. It's just the truth of it all. And so today I want to encourage you to get serious about God. Today I want to encourage you to do what's right. Get into the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Build that foundation. Put up bigger walls, thicker walls, stronger walls. Build. Look at the design. What do I got to do to protect myself when I go into the workforce? Or when I go to this house? Or when I go over here or go over there? How do I got to build this roof so that I don't have to worry about a hurricane taking me out? And you build yourself that way. You reinforce yourself. And you do it all through the Word of God. And no matter what comes in your life, no matter what hurricane, no matter how big, small, no matter how much rain or how much wind, you will withstand in the evil day. I want everybody to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call anybody forward. But I never, ever, ever preach and not give an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you don't know, you're not sure that if you were to die right now that you would go to heaven, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it's really simple. You just got to believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins. You got to believe that He is the Savior of the world. And you have to believe that you're a sinner. And then you ask Him to come and live in your heart. quietly within yourself, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm in a battle that I can't win without you. I realize that without you, I am nothing. I realize that it is just a matter of time before my sins and the devil take me down. And so right now, Lord, I repent of my sins. I ask for forgiveness for all the wrong I've ever done. And I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul, that I could live forever with you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, you might have prayed it 1,000 times in the past, but you never meant it like you meant it today. Or you may have never prayed it before today, but today you did. If that was you,